that will be when my Jesus I shall see.
There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Think of this.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we have a trio coming to sing for us. Then we'll turn the service over to our pastor.
Savior God, to thee how great. take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Mrs. Tyner. How great he is. Amen. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and dismiss our kids at this time. Thank you, Brother Sam, for helping me remember that. I'm forgetting things in my old age. I knew you needed that. All right. If you would go ahead and take your Bibles out, I'm going to turn the rest of the service over to Brother Aguiar.
Thank you, preacher. Having your Bibles tonight, turn with me, if you will, 1 Kings chapter number 22. 1 Kings chapter number 22. Good to be here on this Tuesday night. And it feels like I'm back up north. We thought we got away from all the cold weather. We was up in Pennsylvania and West Virginia, over in St. Louis, Missouri, around October, got over into the Carolinas in November and got down to 20-some degrees. And I thought, it's going to be nice. We'll go to Florida for January and we won't have to worry about cold weather. Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm not in the Dakotas. Hallelujah. Good to be here and good to see each and every one of you. We only got one more night left as far as these few days of revival services, and so we hope you'll make it out tomorrow night, be our last night, and I hope you'll come looking forward to hearing from the Lord. We hope you'll take some time, look at the Bibles, the Bible cases that we might have. If you need a good King James Bible, they are available, and I trust that'll be a blessing to you. I'm thinking for just a moment, we had opportunity of going over to the state of Texas last year around the month of April. A church asked us to come over and to help them. It's been a small church. They've had a rough time getting started and a rough time going. And because of their stand on the King James Bible, a lot of people don't like coming to the church and other things that they stand for. You know, we're living in a time when folks don't want to hear the truth. They want to be pacified. They want to be, you know, just feel good. I'm okay. You're okay type thing. But they stand for the truth. And this church, they had a modular building. They actually bought two of them from the military. The military used these modular buildings for training troops and different things. And after so long, then they don't need them anymore. They'll auction them off. They was able to pick them up for something like $1,000 a piece. Two different ones, put them together. And that was their fellowship hall, very large. And, well, I say large for their church. They're only running about 25 folks or so. And but it's about, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it's a 30 by 60 fellowship hall. They put two of them together. But while we was there, he said, Brother Aguiar, one of the biggest problems we have is the flooring. He says, what type of floor can our church afford? Now, there's a lot of flooring you can get, but what type of flooring can our church afford? Now, when I say that, it was a small church. They didn't have a lot of money, And we deal with a lot of churches that just don't have the money to go ahead and buy, you know, the more expensive things. And so I said, let me do some looking around and doing different things. And the year prior, I did their bathroom, did their floor. And I went down and bought the 68-cent square foot, the tongue and groove type pergo floor that just goes together. There's a groove. And I told the preacher, I said, this is the cheap stuff. This is what they put in rentals. I said, but there's a way to make it look nice. And we took polyurethane. And after the floor in that bathroom, it was put down, and we put the polyurethane. And that floor that ran 68 cents a square foot all of a sudden looked just as good as the $3.50 a square foot floor. And I told the preacher, I said, what I want you to do is just use the floor like crazy. It's a men's bathroom, so I knew it was going to be used crazy. And I said, it doesn't matter. Just let people go in. It doesn't let their feet, you know, if kids have mud on it, it's not going to hurt if they scratch it. I want to see how the polyurethane does. And if that works, next year we'll come and put it on. Well, we went back. A whole year went by, and you could not tell the floor was touched. And so we went ahead and went down to Lowe's and we bought the 68 cent a square foot flooring. Church could afford it. And we bought about 5 gallons of polyurethane. And after we put the flooring down, we begin to polyurethane. Now you got to watch it. You'll get as high as a Georgia pine, if you know what I'm talking about. And but we put down that polyurethane, then put another coat on it, put another coat. I talked to the preacher not long ago and he said, Brother Aguiar, it looks like the floor is still brand new. Nobody's ever walked on it. That's what it looks like. He says, we've used it like crazy. But I'm just saying it for this reason, just trying to help a church that doesn't have money. You'll be amazed how many churches in America just need some help. They don't have money. They can't hire somebody to come in and do this. They can't. They just barely got enough to keep the lights going and things like that. And my, they'll go ahead and get up a little bit of money and say, is there any way you could do this? And I said, sure, we'll do it. Churches that are small with very little money. I remember I was over in Alabama one time and I went to a church and this church, the preacher said, Brother Aguiar, we're a Baptist church. I said, I understand that. That's the only reason I'm here. You're Baptist. He said, but we don't have a baptistry. Every time we baptize, we got to wait till it gets warm enough to go down to the river to baptize. He said, is there any way we can have a baptistry? We don't have a lot of money in our church account. I don't know if you've ever priced the professional baptistries. They're somewhere between, they start about $2,500 and go up to about $6,000. And this is a small church. They don't have much. He said, is there any way you can make a baptistry for us? So I started thinking, I was thinking about maybe cinder block and then fiberglass in it or, you know. But the Lord allowed me to drive down the road to do something, and off on the side I saw a septic tank. Now the blessing is it was a new one. Makes a difference. And I looked at that septic tank, and it was about 7 foot long. It was about 5 foot wide, and it was a rubber fiberglass type material. Take a Sawzall, and you can just rip that the top off. It was all ribbed to where to hold the water. And I talked to the guy, and I got it for under $400. We went ahead and got that thing. Had to take some of the door apart and the side of the door off just to get it in. And we got it in, fixed it up, got some swimming pool blue point paint. Had less than $500. And the church had a baptistry. If you could find churches tonight, and they're easy to find, that are small and struggling. Some of them are so discouraged they're ready to give up. And I'm thankful that God, many years ago, placed it on my heart. And it's been something I've enjoyed doing. One of my daughters, they said, Dad, why do you go to those small churches? You know, they're small. You know that church is not going to grow. I says, you know, sometimes the prettiest flowers is the ones that nobody sees in the middle of the woods. But they're blooming right where God wants them to bloom. They're shining forth and showing the glory of God. And sometimes God has a church and he just keeps it one particular size. And we just like to go in and just be a help and encouragement, keeping the churches, preaching the word of God, just encouraging them to where they'll go on, helping a Sunday school teacher where they get encouraged to teach, and helping song directors where they still go ahead and direct singing, helping ushers to where they still pick up money, helping the preachers where they still pray, trying to help small churches. And I'm thankful tonight that you have a part in that. We could not do it on our own. We're grateful that you've helped. You partnered with us. And you make it possible for us to help small churches. And I just want to express our appreciation for that. 1 Kings chapter 22. If you're able to, stand with me. Let's read the Word of God for just a few verses here and see what the Lord has for us tonight. 1 Kings chapter 22. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. It came to pass in the 3rd year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, Know ye that Ramath and Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the of king of Syria? And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramath Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art. My people as thy people, my horses as thy people, thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, Inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, about 400 men, and said unto them, Shall I go against Ramath-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And they said, Go up, for the Lord will deliver it into the hand of the king. And Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here a prophet of the Lord beside that we might inquire of him? And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, There is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he doth not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, Let not the king say so. Would you skip down with me to verse number 12? The Bible says, And all the prophets prophesied so, saying, Go up to Ramath-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. And the messenger that was gone to call Micaiah spake unto him, saying, Behold, now the words of the prophet declare good unto the king with one mouth. Let thy word, I pray thee, be like the word of one of them, and speak that which is good. And Micaiah said, As the Lord liveth, what the Lord said unto me, that will I speak. Tonight I want to preach on this thought. Feeling better or just getting better? There's folks tonight, they've come to church, there's things taking place in their life, and many folks want to feel better when they come to church. But my thought tonight is not to feel better, but it's to get better for the glory of God. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity as we've gathered in your house. Lord, thank you for all that you've done. Lord, you've been so good to us. You've taken care of us. You supply the needs that we've had today. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, the good meal we've enjoyed, the good time of fellowship. Lord, the good singing that we've been able to go ahead and listen to. Lord, you're a mighty God. What a great God you are, Lord. As you created both heaven and earth and everything that's in them. Lord, you're a great God. Tonight we approach the throne of grace. God, we need your help tonight as the word of God goes forth. I pray you might speak to hearts and lives. May the will of God be done. Lord, through the message, I pray we might be drawn a little bit closer to thee. May your will be done, and we'll thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Interesting, when we come to 1 Kings chapter 22, here it is, the king has went ahead and called for Jehoshaphat. He says, listen, we're getting ready to go to battle. Are you going to join in with us? We've let you stay around this area. We have not bothered you. You've been able to go ahead and do what you want to do. Are you willing to go to battle with us? And Jehoshaphat said, listen, we'll go as one person. What you want is what I want. Your horses are and my horses, they'll work together. My people and your people will work together. But Jehoshaphat said, I want you to do one thing. Inquire of the Lord if this is what we should do. I just want to make sure that this is the will of God. So, could you see it as the king goes ahead and sends messengers, says, go get all my prophets. And all these prophets begin to come, and could you see them all lining up? There's about 400 of them. They probably all have degrees, and I'm not saying nothing negative about a degree. They probably all have a little bit of training and a little bit of experience, and I'm not saying nothing wrong or negative about that. But here, these were men that the king had, and they always said things to make the king feel good. But this is a battle that's taking place, and we don't need to feel good. We need to know for sure what is right. And here they all with one accord said, oh, king, go up. King, you're going to win. It's going to be great. You're going to win the battle. Everything's all right. And Jehoshaphat immediately realized these men are not men of God. They're not men that's going to give the truth. They're just going to say what the king wants to hear. He says, is there anybody else? He says, is there any prophet of the Lord? Now, let me just say this. Before I even get into the message, there's a lot of different types of preachers across America. There's a lot of different rabbis. There's a lot of bishops. There's a lot of elders. Whatever you might want to classify them, priests, and however you want to call these different ones that hold authority in churches, there's a lot of them. But I want you to know, we don't need them. We need somebody that will hear from God. We need somebody that will tell us exactly what the Lord has said. Is there not a prophet of the Lord beside? There's churches today, you walk in it, and folks come in after living a horrible life. They go ahead, they was on a Saturday doing things that we won't even speak about in our church services. They went ahead and defiled themselves with the junk of the world. They went ahead and they're addicted to different things, and they walk into certain churches. Preachers get up and make them feel good, make them go ahead and smile, and my, they leave in the same condition as when they came. What we need is a prophet of the Lord beside. And I'm thinking for just a moment, here it is. The king says, well, we got one of those guys around. Yeah, with Jehoshaphat, there is a man something like that. There is a prophet that we could probably call on. But I want you to know I hate his guts. I can't stand. I hate him. Why is it? Because he always tell me about evil things. Can you imagine that? I can't stand that preacher. All he preaches about is evil. You know, a lot of times in our churches, we have folks, they think sometimes the same thing. Sometimes they'll go ahead, and I've had people say, Brother Aguiar, all you ever preach is negative and negative and negative and negative. And I said this, how many times did you come to the revival? Well, I came twice. I said, would you believe the times you came were all negative and all the other ones were positive? I'm just thinking for just a moment. There are some folks that get it in their mind. All they hear is, you know, I could preach a message and just give out the Word of God, but some person might just catch on one little thing, and that's all they can remember of the whole message. Right. I was in the state of Rhode Island preaching many years ago. 1993 or 94, a preacher had me come up. We were tag team preaching. You say, what is that? I'm not going to explain it right now. But we were tag team having a great time preaching the Word of God. And I got up to preach, and as I went ahead and brought out on a point, I began to make known the Word of God's our final authority. We need to look at this no matter what. God's Word is where we need to go ahead and hold all of our authority. We need to go with what? It doesn't matter what book you read. It doesn't matter who you listen to. God's Word holds authority. It oversees any priest, any rabbi, any preacher there is. It oversees Mary, the mother of the Lord Jesus. The Word of God will go ahead. And I said this, oversee Ann Landers and Dear Abby. You thought I committed the unpardonable sin when I said that. Oh, there was a lady in the congregation. She got just as mad at me. And after, sir, you know how I stand at the door and let everybody shake my hand, lying to me as they go, you know what I'm talking about. Here it is, I'm shaking hands, and all of a sudden she comes up. I reach my hand, and she would not shake. She started shaking her finger at me. She says, you've offended me. She wasn't a member of that church. I said, ma'am, how did I offend you? She said, what you said about dear Abby. I said, what did I say about it? She says, I want you to know she has just as much good advice as the Bible does. I said, wait a minute. Whoa. Person that'll go ahead and say it's all right for a person to be a sodomite, a person that'll go ahead and promote abortion, a person that'll go ahead and go completely against all the principles of the Word of God. I said, no, that's not true. She said, I just want you to know you've offended me. I said, ma'am, do you remember what I said before I mentioned dear Abby? She said, no. I said, do you remember what I said after I mentioned dear Abby? She said, no. I said, well, ma'am, I'm glad I mentioned dear Abby or you would have got nothing out of the service. You know what we need? We need a prophet of the Lord besides. Somebody that just give the truth. It doesn't matter who's sitting in the pew. It doesn't matter who's around in the congregation. Somebody that just take the Word of God and give it for face value and say, thus saith the Lord, this is what God has in our lives. Well, here, as Micah begins to come, he begins to make known some things. I want to preach on this thought, feeling better or getting better. Had some problems last year. I wasn't doing too well. Different things in my life was taking place and different things was going on. I began to notice something and I knew I needed to get some help. And I began to think for just a moment, there's a lot of folks in our churches. Spiritually, they're in the same spot. There's homes today that are just about on ruin. There's homes today that are just about ready to get separated. There's homes today that's just about on the edge of divorce. I'm thinking for just a moment, kids are out of control. I want the marriage. There's a heated argument. There's fighting. Boy, there's all the different sin going on in a lot of homes. And my, the home is just about ready to be wrecked. And folks come to church. These marriages come to church. These different ones come to church. And they're looking not to feel better, but to get better in life. There's different ones. Maybe it was you that came to church and boy, you grabbed the hymn book and you sang so sweet. But just before you came, you and the wife or you and the husband was having it out in the car. Yelling one at another. Don't look at them because then everybody knows you. You know what I'm talking about? We got problems. And my, I'm thinking for just a moment, there's different young folks. They're getting up to the time of life when here it is. They realize I need to do something in life. I need to do something with my life. I need to, and my, they come and they come to the church house. Oh, what we need is just to hear once again from the Word of God. We need someone not to make us feel good, but to say, thus saith the Lord. We need to get better, not just feel better. Amen. Lifestyles are in our churches. Folks with hangovers, the debt that we have, a lot of problems, and they're just mounting up, and it's getting bigger. We need the truth of the Word of God, that you have to admit there's problems even in churches today. But as I was having some problems, I decided that I need to go see somebody for my physical problems. And tonight I want to give you some thoughts of what I found when I went to see somebody about my physical problems. We call them doctors, physicians. And one of the things that I found out is in order to get better, you first have to see your need. There's a lot of folks, they don't see their need. They're looking at so-and-so, and they're looking at this person, and they're saying, I'm not quite as bad as what they are, and I'm not doing what they're doing. I must be all right. But the problem is, and the truth of the matter is, we're all in need. Person said, Brother Aguirre, I've reached perfection. Could I say you haven't reached perfection? You just lied. I want you to know we're not going to reach perfection on this earth. We won't reach it till we get to heaven. We're still sinners. I have a body of flesh and my, it tends to go the wrong way. It wants to do the wrong thing. Hey, listen, we're in need. Revelation chapter 3 verse 17. Because thou sayest I'm rich and increase with good and have need of nothing and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Hey, listen, I'm just saying here, we're in need tonight. We need some help. The first thing to get help is to recognize your need. There is a song we used to sing when the kids was around. I'm glad I got lost so I could get saved. You realize I had to get lost before I could get saved. Wasn't born a Christian, neither were you. I didn't go ahead and just come into the world as a Christian. Somebody say, I came in as a sinner by nature, a sinner by choice. I'm glad I got lost so I could get saved. I'm glad I saw my need of salvation. But I'm thinking for just a moment as I went to a doctor. As different things, doctors, they're funny folks. They ask some strange questions. You say, what questions do they ask? Well, when I went in, one of the first things they said is, do you have any pain? That's the first thing they said to me. You got any pain? And I begin to tell them about pain. You know, when the doctor examines, he wants to know where the pain is. My, there's a lot of different ones. They don't want to admit where the pain is. They don't want to admit what's going on in their life. They want to hold on to the pride of life. But I'm saying this, if you're going to get better, not feel better, if you're going to get better, you're going to have to see the need. Oh, how is your pain? Hey, listen, when was the last time maybe you had conviction of the Holy Ghost of God in the church house or in your house? When was the last time God began to deal with your heart and your life? When was the last time He began to open the Word of God? And boy, you saw things you never saw before. Hey, I'm thinking for just a moment. How is your pain? Then the doctor asks me this question. How's your energy level? How's your power? They want to know how I'm doing with my energy level, my power. Do I still have the... Now, I have to admit, the older I get, the less power I get. But they want to know how my power is, how my energy is. Could I ask you as a Christian, how's your power? You realize with me, if you've been saved, you receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You say, what will take place when somebody receives power? And ye shall be witnesses unto me. How's your power tonight? When was the last time you told somebody of the good grace of God? How's your power tonight? When was the last time you say, Brother Aguiar, I'm not a preacher. You don't have to be. Just tell them what God's done for you. How He changed your life around. How He made you new. How's your power? They wanted to know if there was any stress or weakness. If I'm able to do things. How's your pain? How's your power? And He says, how's your perception? Are you able to go ahead and think things through? Are you able to see right? Are you able to hear? They want to know these different things. And could I ask you this? How's your perception? You know, we live in a time when folks don't have good perception. Folks can't figure out things. We got some folks in different places. They don't know what bathroom to use. We're more concerned about some bacteria there on Mars than we are about a life found in a woman's womb. How's your perception? Oh, well, Brother Aguiar, I just don't want to go ahead and make anybody mad. But there's some things in the Bible that is definite. It's right there. It's in black and white. And God stands against it. And if God stands against it, so should you. How's your perception? You see, what the world's trying to do is conform us to their image. Make us more like them. Have you ever noticed the different things going on? They're trying to get us to go ahead and accept this alternate lifestyle as being normal. Could I say that's not normal? God created male and female. You find a marriage is between a man and a woman. And I'm thinking for a moment, how is your perception? How are you viewing things? I'm just noticing here, in order to get better, you have to first see your need. Let me give you a second thing. If you're going to get better and not just feel better, you got to see the right doctor. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying nothing negative about old grandma's famous recipes of getting better. Down south, the big thing, if no matter what you had, but if you would take castor oil, it'd take care of everything. You know what I'm talking about? Now, if you ever took castor oil, you'll never admit again that you're sick. It worked every time. But you know, I'm thinking for a moment, Grandma was so good about that. But to be honest, with our need, we need to see somebody that knows what's going on. There's a lot of times we'll go ahead and go with maybe what a relative said and maybe what somebody that we trust, we love them. But it might be that person we trust and love, maybe they're not really knowledgeable with what it really is. There's different ones. They'll go ahead and tell you, oh, if you'll just do right and be right and act right, live real good, keep the golden rule and the Ten Commandments, you'll make it to heaven. Well, that's good advice, but it's not true. We need to go to the Word of God. We got to get to the right doctor. We need to get to the right, sometimes friend. We'll go ahead and give us advice. Sometimes we have our friends to tell what we should do. Hey, listen, I don't need to listen to my friends to find out what I need. I don't need to listen to some old recipe. I need to find out from the truth of the Word of God. I need to get to the right doctor, the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody that has been seasoned and not a novice. Somebody that is sincere and not a performer. Someone that's straightforward and not a liar or a flatterer. Someone that's not looking for wealth or health or prosperity, but somebody that just give the truth of the Word of God. Hey, listen, I want you to know the Lord Jesus has a good track record. I want you to know He's able to do some mighty things in folks' lives. He can take no matter how wretched a person is and more or less save their soul and get them out of the place of hell where they're headed for and set their feet on a rock, establish their going. Hey, listen, He's a good doctor. You need to go to the Lord and not other folks. There's different good folks, don't get me wrong. There's different good philosophers. A man by the name of Confucius read some of his writings. Some of his writings is very interesting. But Confucius won't help you with the matter of your sin. Buddha, a lot of different things he held. A lot different than what I've ever seen. But yet Buddha will not help you take care of your sin problem. Your pastor here. Good man that he is, but your pastor cannot take care of your sin problem. You say, who can? Jesus says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father. What I'm saying is we got to get to the right doctor. If we're going to not just feel better. You know, there's preachers today, they try to make you feel good. These television evangelists, they come on. Have you ever noticed how everything's about them and it's all health and wealth and prosperity? Oh, they'll say if you're living in God's will, you're going to be healthy. You're going to be wealthy. Prosperity is going to be in your life. I'm just wondering what Bible are they reading? Because it's not in my Bible. Oh, and then we get different ones up on the platform. Oh, and we're going to get a praise team and let's go ahead and have a good time. Let's go ahead and rejoice. Oh, and we're going to sing it. And it's all about me, I. When we should be singing about him. I think for just a moment how I was in the valley. I was sinking low. I had faults and failures. I had nowhere. I'm a little tired about hearing about me. I want to hear about Him. Oh, I like it when I can hear the songs, How Great Thou Art. Then sings my soul. And my, we lift Him up. He's the one to be magnified. Not me and all. Hey, I'm just saying here, we got to get to the right doctor. If you're going to get right. Not feel right, but if you're going to get right, we're going to have to go ahead and see our need. We're going to have to get to the right doctor. Let me give you the third thing. We're going to have to submit to an examination. Sometimes the doctor wants to do some things. You know, I think God in this revival wants to do something. Maybe like Psalm 139, verse 23, search me, O God. And know my heart, try me and know my thoughts. Oh, we need to submit ourselves to an examination. What is an examination? An examination involves magnification. You know what God wants to do? He wants to go ahead and put the spotlight on a particular spot and magnify it so we can see what's wrong. Imagine tonight if God was to shine the spotlight of the Word of God on your life. Imagine with me as He was to magnify it. Oh, we call it just a little sin. Brother Aguiar, it's just a little drink. No, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. God's shining the spotlight. And all of a sudden as He's shining it, He's magnifying it. David started thinking, as God shined the spotlight and began to magnify, he said, "Search me, O Lord. Know my thoughts." You know, there's some things you might not be doing in life, but you do have it in your mind. If the right opportunity came around, you would probably do it. But you haven't. But it's the thoughts. The Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to go ahead and show the difference between the thoughts and the intents of the heart and the thought. I'm just thinking for a moment. Here we need to submit to an examination, a magnification. Here he's going to enlarge things to see. He's going to enlarge things that are stale in our life. He's going to enlarge things that stink in our life. He's going to enlarge things that are stealing our spiritual life and taking away from us living for the glory of God. I'm saying we have to go ahead and submit to an examination if we're going to get better. I have to admit, sometimes the examinations don't feel good. Sometimes when the doctor does things, it does not feel good. I remember November. Not this November, last November, about a year ago from November, I had to have surgery. I'm honest with me. What that doctor did, he hurt me, cutting me open like that. Who knows? He probably used a Singer sewing machine to put it back together. But it hurt. My, there was pain. But you know, the only way I can get things right, there had to be an examination. Sometimes things hurt. You ever been in church and it hurt? I remember I got saved in Mainz, Germany many years ago, 1976. I was in Mainz, Germany on the fourth floor of an apartment building. I remember as a 10-year-old boy sitting up there reading a gospel pamphlet my grandmother sent me. I remember getting under Holy Ghost conviction. I called on the Lord. I remember getting saved on that day. We attended a church there in Mainz, Mainz Bible Baptist Church. Different things took place with the church. The church ended up dissolving. We went to a different church. It was over in Wiesbaden. It was about 20 miles away, which really is not bad in Germany. There's open speed limits, so you can make it there in 5 minutes. Almost, not quite, but I'm thinking for just a moment. We went to that church. First night, we went on Sunday night. I remember when we went there, we stepped in. Everybody was happy and greeted us. A good godly focus, seemed like. And the pastor, Brother Hal Williams, got up to preach. Skinny man, very skinny man. I mean, he was tall, long arm, long finger. I remember skinny, one stripe to his pajama. I mean, he was a good preacher. And he preached on this thought. Elvis Presley, the God of rock music. I couldn't believe, first time I ever heard anything like that. Then he got off on Johnny Cash. Now, I hope I'm not going to bother you. If it is, it's all right. I'm still going to preach. But he said, the problem is we got folks singing in the honky-tonk on Saturday and then coming to the church house and singing in God's house. And he says, how can a tree bring forth olive berries? How can a fountain bring forth sweet water and bitter? And he says, how can a person sing about the things of the world on Saturday and then try to sing on Sunday the things of God? I got so much under conviction. He hurt my feelings. Amen. I remember the invitation was given. I was so ashamed of the music I was listening to. I started thinking about each one of those different singers I had on 8 tracks. And I started thinking, because we also had the ones that where they sang in the country club and the bars. But I had gospel music now. And I got under such Holy Ghost conviction. It hurt. But I remember when I went home, you know what an 8-track, some of you do, most of you do. I grabbed that ribbon and I pulled it out. You say, what happened? I submitted to an examination. I wanted my life to be more like Christ. Went back the next service. We didn't know why. It offended us, but we liked it. You ever been offended and liked it? Well, we went back the next service. And this was a Wednesday night. That Sunday night service was like a Sunday school class compared to that Wednesday. He plowed the strip. I mean, he just went. He preached on anything that moved, it seemed like, as being sin. Boy, I got under conviction. We ended up joining that church that offended us. And every time we went there, we began to hear things about how to live a godly life. How to make our lives more like the Lord Jesus. How to get away from the junk and the sin of the world. Oh my, here it is. And all of a sudden, boy, the preaching no longer was offended. It was sinking in. It was changing our life. You say, what happened? We submitted to an examination. Oh, he began to preach. We got rid of the things that were stale. Not because of a preacher, but because of the Word of God. We got rid of the things that stunk in the eyes of God. And not because of a preacher, but because of the Word of God. We submitted to an examination. Talking about getting better, not feeling better. We'll have to see the need. We have to get to the right doctor. We have to have an examination. And then I give you the last thought. I'm through. You're going to have to stick to the prescription. Every now and then, the doctor will go ahead and write out a prescription. I don't know why it is, but some of these prescriptions are the biggest pills in the world. Why can't they give it all in liquid form? You know what I'm talking about? It's a lot easier. But you got to get a pill that long, it seems like. But there's a prescription you're going to have to stay with. And I think about James chapter 1, verse 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. I'm thinking for just a moment. Sometimes that prescription, some of you have quite a few. My, you go ahead and you look like a medicine. You're taking the whole medicine cabinet when you take them all. Do you know what is helping you? There are some that is helping you. It's keeping your blood down. It's keeping your sugar at the right spot. It's doing this. It's doing that. Whatever it might be. I'm just thinking for a moment. We have to stick with the prescription. Sometimes it's not easy. You know, I start to think for just a moment. The Lord Jesus gave a prescription. He told that church that thought they didn't really need any help. He says, you're blind. You're poor. You're miserable. You're naked. He said this. I'm giving you a prescription. I'm telling you how you can get things right. I'm telling you how not to feel better, but to get better. He says you need to remember from whence thou art fallen and repent and do the first works. I'm thinking for a moment, the prescription that you and I have, we need to remember where we fell, where we got out of fellowship with God, what that sin was that got us away from God. Oh, and we need to go back to that spot and say, Lord, I've messed up. I've sinned. I got away from you. Lord, this thing has taken my joy away. This thing has taken my fellowship with you. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Lord, I want to start right here. I want to get away from it. I want to do your will. I have to stick to the prescription. As I said, the prescription's not always easy. I wouldn't solve a doctor. Would you believe? It was a female doctor. I don't know if she knew what she was talking about. She said, I had to lose weight. That offends me. You know, sometimes the best thing to do is listen to the doctor. With the prescription. The doctor knows some things that maybe you don't. The doctor has studied some different medicine that maybe you haven't studied. And we need to follow the prescription. Now, I'll say this. Sometimes with a doctor, you get a second opinion. But with Jesus, you don't have to. Right. Just count on it, what he says in the manual will make the difference. Your home needs help, the manual will help you. Your life needs help, the manual will help you. Your job needs help, the manual will help you. But you're going to have to stick to the prescription. Can't tell you how many folks have went ahead and quit. They've given up. And today they're in ruin. I think tonight about different ones I've known over the years that used to serve God. And something came into their life. It began to shake them. It began to go ahead and get a hold of them. But instead of seeing their need, They begin to blame others. And I'll say this, many folks blame other folks for what's going on in their life. It's not other folks' problem. We need to take care of the problem. We need to see the need. We need to get to Christ. We need to get an examination. We need to follow the directions, the prescription that is given. I'm just thinking, will you resolve to get better? Or will you say, preacher, I just want to feel better? You could take different things just to make you feel better. But tomorrow, how's things going to be for tomorrow? We need something that will change our life and make us better. We have different ones in our church. I've seen different ones where problems have taken place. And the doctor said, if you don't go ahead and take care of this problem, you're going to die. I've seen different ones where the doctor said that. Good friend of mine, a little farther north in Florida, doctor looked at him, and after an examination, he went ahead and says, I only give you a few months to live if you don't take care of this problem. He begins to think, I need to take care of the problem. I'm going to die. There's a lot of Christians. They're spiritually, it seems like, dead to the Word of God. Because they haven't taken care of the problem. He went ahead. I remember this one, a good brother, good friend of mine. He took care of the problem. Boy, now there it is. The doctor says, look, you're looking good. You're doing good. You got many years ahead of you. You got quite a number of, if you can just go ahead and keep on doing this, keep on with it, you'll go ahead and your heart's doing better. Your sugar's doing better. All these different things are doing. But he had to keep with the prescription. I'm trying not just to be a Sunday morning saint, but I like to be a Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday saint also. I'm not just trying to live by the Word of God on Sundays and Wednesdays, but I like for the Word of God to be my meditation day and night. Like a tree planted by the rivers of water, as it brings forth fruit, it goes ahead and draws from that water. That water begins to help it to grow, begins to let the fruit come out. Hey, listen, I'm just saying here, we need to get better, not just feel better. Here back in our text, he said, isn't there anyone? Isn't there a prophet of the Lord beside? Oh, and Micaiah steps up, and he goes ahead and gives the word of God. And Jehoshaphat knows, that's what I need to do. That's the way I need to go. That's what God wants for my life. Why? Because he heard from God. Tonight, if you've heard from God, you need to take heed to the prescription, to the examination, to the need in your life, and let the Lord change your life. Leave your thought. I'm through. There are some folks that neglected what the doctor said. There are some folks, they did what they wanted to do. Person said, Brother Aguiar, I know what you're preaching is right, but some folks won't give up their drugs. Some folks won't give up their alcohol. And today they met the funeral home because of not taking heed to what the doctor said. You need to quit. There's others, they went ahead and met the funeral. Oh, the mortician met the funeral home because they just refused. Could I say one of the worst things in the world is to be spiritually dead to the Word of God? I hate it when folks come into church and you preach and they get nothing out of the Bible. That's a sad state to be in. It's sad when you have a Sunday school class and you don't get one thing from the Word of God. It's sad when you have a preacher that preaches, prepares a message, God puts things on his heart, and he brings it out just for you. God has it, and you don't get one thing. Being spiritually dead is horrible. Well, tonight, we need to get better, not just feel better. Would you stand with me tonight? Everyone standing. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, thoughts have been given tonight. Different things have been mentioned. Lord, how many times have I seen it when I went different places where we need the Word of God? Lord, we don't need man's opinion, but Lord, as the Word of God is open, we need you to speak to hearts and lives. Lord, if conviction is needed, may we submit to conviction. Lord, that time over in Wiesbaden, I heard that preacher preach, he offended me. but it sure helped me later on in life. Lord, things that was said, I didn't understand, but now as I look back, I see your handiwork in my life, trying to help me, trying to get me alive for God, doing the work of God. Maybe you've spoken to hearts tonight. Maybe someone to come around the altar. I pray they might step out. Maybe, Lord, some just need to say, Lord, I want to submit to your examination. Would you search my heart? God, would you help me to do the will of God? Keep with the prescription you've told me to do. Father, may your will be done. Bless this invitation. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Piano's playing tonight. God's speaking to your heart. Would you come this evening? God's speaking to you. Oh.